Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now, you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. Backbeat, the word is on the street that the fire in your heart is out. I'm sure you've heard it all before, but you never really had a doubt. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. And all the roads we have to walk are winding, and all the lights that lead us there are blinding. There are many things that I would like to say to you, but I don't know how. Because maybe
family and friends, happy 2008, happy new year. Are you ready for some answers in your life? Are you ready for some answers? Is there anybody but me that could use some answers in your life? Well, I want to welcome you to our series that we're going to do for the next, counting this week, the next 7 weeks, called the God Questions. And I want to start this morning by doing something a little different. I pray most of you have got a bulletin. I want to ask you to pull out your bulletin. I've got a God question survey on the back, and I want you to take a look at this. I want each and every one of us, if we can, to take a look at this survey. And here's the thought. I want you to take a look and quickly run down that survey, and in your mind, or if you've got a pen, all the better, I want you to mark the toughest question on there. I want you to put a number one. What's the single toughest question on there for you? Put a number one next to it. What's the second toughest question? Therefore, you put a number two there. And let's do the third as well. Let me read you the question. Some of you may not have a bulletin. What happens to me when I die? What proof is there that the Bible is true? If God is so good, why is there so much pain in this world? Why is the church full of hypocrites? Doesn't every religion have a valid path to heaven? How can I really know that God exists? Would a loving God really send people to hell? Isn't it narrow-minded to believe that Christianity is the only way to heaven? And last, what do other religions really believe about God? I want you to quickly mark number one, number two, and number three of the toughest questions on that list for you personally. And now I want you to do something just the opposite. I want you to make a mental, if not a physical, check next to every question that you could say in your heart of hearts comfortably, you could answer that question in 60 seconds or less. Look at the list. How many of those questions do you feel that you could comfortably, honestly say, I could answer that in about a minute, no problem? Well, here's the thing, folks. In the next 6 weeks, we're going to ensure that if your heart is open, and if you apply yourself, just a little. The end of 6 weeks, you'll be able to go down that list and check every one. Every single one. That's what we're embarking upon. And I believe, I am absolutely convinced, that in this next 6 weeks, there will be faith journeys that begin. There will be faith journeys that are strengthened. And praise God, I believe some of you are going to have faith journeys that see breakthrough. I mean, just breakthrough to the next level. That's what we're embarking to do. We're going to take these next 6 weeks, and if you'll give me three commitments, I ask for three commitments, then I promise you, at the end of the 6 weeks, you'll look at that list, and you'll be able to check off each and every one. Here are the three commitments that I'm looking for, that you come each of the next 6 weeks. You won't get it if you don't receive it. You come for the next 6 weeks as we go through this. The video you saw, we're going to use that as our intro each week. That's the preface of this series. Each of those taglines that you saw will be a message title. Each one of those questions, we're going to have a specific message just on that question. So, commitment number one, come each of the next 6 weeks. Commitment number two, out at the resource table, there's a book that goes along with this series. It's called the God Questions book. It's made up of 40 days of reading, 2 to 3 pages per day. If you will get one of these books, and they're $7 at the table, that's what we paid for them. If you'll get one of these books, and if you'll follow along and do the reading each day, I promise you, in conjunction with coming, you will get to the place where you will have all of these answers under your belt. And the third commitment that I'm looking for is simply this. In conjunction with coming and reading, that you learn one verse of the Bible that you commit to your heart and to your memory for each of the next 6 weeks. One verse per week. Give me 6 weeks of coming, hearing God's word, spending some time on your own, reading a couple of pages a day, and then committing to memory one verse from the Bible. And 6 weeks from now, what looked like kind of a tough, odd survey on the back of a bulletin this morning will not only go into your heart and into your mind, it will become a part of who you are and something that you're capable of sharing. And as you'll see later this morning, isn't that really what it's all about? Well, I make that promise to you. I ask for that commitment in return. And I do it based on starting this morning on a platform that sets the stage for this entire series. And I'm going to do that using two passages of Scripture that I'm going to have us go through this morning. I've entitled our message, Spiritual Doors. I want you to understand how to open them. I want you to understand how to enter them. And I pray that you will learn how to maximize each and every spiritual door that you approach in your life. So I ask you this morning, if you have your Bibles, and I'd encourage you to bring them, I'd ask you to join me in the book of Colossians. We're going to start in Colossians chapter 4. I'm going to read to you verses 2 through 6. And here we're going to see how to open spiritual doors. How to open spiritual doors. If you don't have a Bible, I also want to let you know that here at The Bridge, we want every living soul to have a copy of God's Word. And I would encourage you before you leave today to come back to the resource table. We have a gift for you. If you don't have your own Bible, we have one for you. We pray that everybody will have God's, we call this the sword of the Spirit, God's truth. So read with me now, if you have your Bibles, Colossians chapter 4, verses number 2 through 6. God's Word says this, and again, remember, we're talking about spiritual doors. How to open them, how to enter them, and how to maximize. God's Word says this, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know the answer to everyone. My friends, I want to take a look at that passage and show you four steps to opening spiritual doors. This is the Apostle Paul, and he writes this letter from jail in Rome. He finds himself on the wrong side of a closed door. Paul is in jail in Rome, and he has a heart that beats for the people that need Jesus in Rome all around him. And so he writes this letter as one on the wrong side of a locked door. And what does he pray for? What does he ask for in prayer from his friends in Colossae? Pray that even from where I sit, God will use me. Beautiful irony is the fact that we're reading his letter proves that God answered that prayer. The fact that so many of us for generations have been blessed and strengthened by Paul's words shows us that he already had his prayers answered. But I want us to take a look at exactly what he did and how he asked. When we look at Paul asking for help in going through how to open spiritual doors, I think you'll see in verse number 2, step number 1, Paul says to pray for the opportunity. Pray for the opportunity to go through spiritual doors. Now, some of you might say, I've seen the intro. Pretty cool. We are using secular music. Pretty cool graphics. We're actually talking about the issues that most people wonder about, but nobody ever asks, that seldom, if ever, get brought up in a church. Very cool. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take that invitation card, which is in your bulletin, which has got a personal VIP invitation that you can give to somebody. I'm going to find somebody. I'm going to go give it to them. And I'll say, that's good. That's very good. But what if, instead of taking your invitation card and finding somebody to give it to, what if first you prayed? What if first you leaned on the power of prayer and you said, Father God, Lord in heaven, show me who I should go to. Lord, I pray, show me how I should approach them. Lord, tell me just the right timing. I would say this to you, that if and when we go on our own, we get what we can do. If and when we pray and go, then we get what God can do. And it is so much better. Amen. In verse 2, Paul tells us to pray for an opportunity. Then in the second half of verse number 2, you see Paul again making a very, very important point. Watch for that opportunity. Why? Because if you've prayed for it, understand this, that God is a loving God. The Bible says that He doesn't want anybody to perish. So if you've now prayed for what the God in heaven has prioritized enough to send His Son down to die on a cross, this is very important to Him. If you've prayed for what is most important to Creator God, then you need to watch for that opportunity because there is a very real likelihood that it's going to come. How many of you know that you've got to be able to hear God even when He speaks softly? You see, if you pray for it, somebody might tell you, be careful what you wish for. If you pray for it, the next step is to watch for it because there's a very real likelihood that God will give you an opportunity to intercede and to share your faith with somebody that needs Jesus. Third, I want you to see as we move to verse 5, Paul makes it very clear that we're to make the most of every opportunity. To make the most. Now, that means that you don't just ride roughshod over somebody. You know, you don't just walk in and start pounding people with your Bible. Sometimes it means that you're just soft and quiet. I was with some folks this week, and I was reminded of something that I was told in seminary when I said, hey, look, I'm a recycled businessman. I come from the industrial marketing world. You know, I don't have a lot of softness in me. It is not my gift. I do not have the gift of mercy. Now, you want a street fight? I'm there. You know, you want to go roll up on the drug dealers? I'm there. But I'm not always comfortable in the places where people would expect a pastor should be comfortable. And I was reminded that there's a ministry of presence. Sometimes just being there is making the most of an opportunity. You don't always have to come blazing. Now, I'm glad to say this. There are times to come blazing and coming out and having a no-holds-barred mindset and heart is exactly what's needed. The key here is not to say one way or the other. It's to embrace the principle of both and. To say make the most of every opportunity. And to do that, you've got to care enough about the people you're speaking to and the people that you're sharing with and the people that you're praying for to understand how they are most apt to receive God's message of grace. So there is no best way. The best way is right here in verse 5, to make the most of every opportunity. Now, there is a tremendous example in Scripture to this, and there's actually a number of them, and they drive home this principle. You say, well, great, Jeff, that's kind of like, I have a friend, Jim Ferguson, over at Weems Creek, and he says, you know, things like that, they're obvious. You say, duh, it's not like I want to go over there and irritate them. You know, I'm not going to walk and kick them. So when you say, Jeff, you know, when you say, make the most of every opportunity, that's a no-brainer. He says, that's like walking up to somebody that you know, is struggling what to do with their finances, and you say, well, you know what you know how to do? You need to get in on the stock market, and here's the thing. Buy low, sell high. You know, and you walk away. Yeah, I understand that. So I'm not going to just tell you, make the most of every opportunity. I want to give you a very practical, real-world way of doing that. And when we're done, some of you are going to say, well, that's so simple, it's not real. This is very real. It's extremely sophisticated, high-end. You know, I may use a little trigonometry here. That's how finesse and how detailed it gets. Are you ready? Here is the way to make the most of every opportunity that God brings your way to share your faith that you've prayed for and God has answered. You ready? Three words. Come and see. Each and every one of you have all that you need to at least make the most of every opportunity in that way. Come and see. Come and see what? The bridge? No. Churches are a dime a dozen if all you want to do is show a church. Come and see a community of believers that are learning and studying God's Word in the context of real life, not in the context of church, in the context of real life, Monday through Friday, nitty-gritty, road rage, jerk bosses, difficult economies, losing loved ones, struggling in marriages, real deal trench life. You can say to anybody and everybody that you know, come and see. Come and see where the teaching is from the Bible. It is God's Word. It is relevant. It is in the language of our day. It is using modern day parables like videos where you actually get it. Come and see what can happen when God's Word begins to filter into your life and people begin to pray for you. And you actually become a part of an iron sharpening iron community where the pursuit is not religion, but relationship. First vertically to the one true living God, and then horizontally with each other, and then beyond that horizontally to a world that so desperately needs the hope and the truth and the love of Christ. Come and see. A couple of guys in the Bible in the New Testament that we read about in the early part of the book of John. Philip, Nathaniel, I call him Phil and Nate. Philip comes in contact with Jesus and instantly recognizes that he is the real deal. This is the Messiah. Philip is so taken that the first thing he does is he runs to his friend Nathaniel and says, Jesus of Nazareth, he's the real deal. I have seen the one of which Moses spoke. You must quote, come and see. Now, you say, wow, yeah, great. You know, you always show us this stuff in the Bible, Pastor Jeff. You know, if I were a disciple, I'd do that too, but you don't understand. It's different where I live. I don't live around a bunch of people expecting the Messiah to show up. Guys I work with are rough. My neighbor might think I'm a Christian wacko. People I go to school with don't think Christians are cool. If I actually live out my faith, I might lose a contract. It was different with those guys in the Bible. Let me tell you what Nathanael said to Philip. Philip says, I've seen the real deal. You got to come check him out. This Jesus of Nazareth, he is the Messiah. Quote, Nathanael. Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Not exactly your easy sale. First thing he gets from a response is, you got to be kidding me. There isn't anything but junk coming out of there. I'm not buying. Philip's response doesn't argue, doesn't try to debate, doesn't go back to his theological studies. He says what each and every one of us can say to anybody in our realm or sphere of influence. Come and see. I have seen. My life has been changed. Come and see. Jesus shows us this same approach again another time, a famous encounter in the Bible where he comes up to a well and there's a woman. And Jesus speaks to this woman with a whole lot of grace and a little bit of salt. And she's so taken that she goes back into the village and she tells everybody, I have seen somebody that is the real deal. And what does she say? You must come and see. The Bible tells us that most of the village came and encountered Christ that night. Come and see. Make the most of every opportunity. Fourth point, and it ties directly into this. It is to use salt, to season your conversation, to use things that will increase the thirst of those with whom you meet. Create a thirst for more. And you do that, the Bible says, to use grace. You're not going to get anybody to heaven threatening them with going to hell. Oh, you'll burn in hell. You know what? The reality is there are only two places, and we will all spend eternity somewhere. But God is very clear in His Word, and we see it in verse 6, that you're to use a lot of grace and some salt. To use the salt that makes a thirst for more. And I tell you again, when the conversation is, come and see, you know me, my life has changed because of my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And this community of believers called the Bridge, you see, the church is the people. This group of believers called the Bridge, they help me. They help me with a pastor that teaches us God's Word. They help me by coming alongside life on life and supporting my desire to become more Christ-like. They help me by praying for me and lifting me up when sometimes I'm just too whipped to hold myself up. Season your conversations with some salt. Create a thirst for more. Now, you might ask yourself, why salt? Why would it work? In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 11, God tells us in His Word that He has put eternity on the heart of every man. You see, every person you know, I don't care how rough and tumble they are. I don't care how they look. I don't care what your preconceived notions are. Well, they're too professional. They've got it all together. Oh, they've got it all. They're so down and out, they wouldn't listen. Whatever your preconceived notions are, God's Word tells us that He has laid eternity on the heart of every man. Others have said it this way, there's a God-shaped hole in every heart that only God can fill. I know that hole personally. I know it's true. And many of you would say, I know it's true too. Praise God, He has filled it when I asked Him in. But you have a promise from God, that He has already touched every heart. Now, we can't make anybody answer the door. We can't do it. We can't make anybody admit that they know that God is really inside and that they would love nothing more than to have a relationship with Him. We can't do that. We can't make them. But you can know this from God's Word, that there is a seed inside of every human soul, a knowing that there is a God. knowing that there is a Creator who would love nothing more than to have a relationship with them. Sadly, many have no idea how to do that. Many have never been given the opportunity to hear directly, to have a guide walk into their life and say, "Let me show you." That's the opportunity that we all have, those of us that have learned and known and grown in relationship with Christ. Now let me show you, understanding that that is the how. Let's take a look now at opening up that door. I want you to take a look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Again, I'd ask you to turn with your Bibles and join me in the First Peter chapter 3. As we now transition from how to open those doors, you open them by praying for the opportunity, knowing that God is with you and He will provide that opportunity. You need to watch for it. Then you make the most of that opportunity, and then you create a thirst for more. Now the entering. Let me read to you 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. God's Word says this: always, how often? Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior, notice the need for your good behavior in Christ, may be ashamed, that they may be ashamed of what they have done. Now, I want you to see, if you are going to enter that door, Peter tells us to be ready. There are three keys to open doors. Three keys to open doors. Not necessarily the keys that open the door, because you'll find that God Himself opens the doors. But three keys to be sensitive to when you're looking to open spiritual doors. The first one is preparation. And that's a big part of what we're doing this week in this coming series, is we're going to prepare by studying God's Word, by looking at what are the answers that most of these people are looking for. This may surprise you. One of the things we're going to do during this series is we're going to look at the top 10 religions of the world, to include atheism, which is the claim to have an absence of religion or faith. We're going to look at the top 10 belief systems in the world. Do you know that 98.3% of the world claims to fit into one of those 10 faith categories? So during this series, we're going to answer and explain the thought processes and the beliefs of 98.3% of the world. Now, the 11th largest belief system represents 30% of 1%, 0.3% of the world's population. Therefore, by looking at the top 10 during this series, we will address the questions, the thoughts, the beliefs of 98.3% of the world. And as you will see, these are not all the same. They do not point in the same direction. They do not have the same prerequisites, and they do not have the same belief systems about eternity. In the end, you will find that if one is right, all the rest have to be wrong, because they cannot coexist. And I would say to you that if you're going to analyze what 98.3% of the world believes, chances are in that you will figure out not only what's right, but what the needs are and how best to talk to and connect with the people around you. Amen? So we need to prepare by studying and getting to know God's Word. The next is presentation. Peter tells us that we've got to be respectful. We've got to share grace. How? Not bells and whistles. Not technology and media. Heart. What is your heart like when you present, when you come through that open door? What is your presentation? Is your presentation that of a steamroller? Is your presentation that of a church mouse, like you're afraid to say what you really believe? I don't want to irritate you. Are you going to be authentic and real deal? The third one is your reputation. You need to be the real deal. Paul says that your good behavior will stand. That if they do tear you down or attack, it'll be unfounded. Because you see, if I go around as an ambassador for Christ on Sunday, and I'm in the places I ought not be Monday through Saturday, if my language is seasoned with salt and flowery with grace, and I'm in the mud the rest of the week, if I'm as honest as anybody you've met on Sunday, but I'm stealing from Uncle Sam on my taxes, or I'm not returning the extra change that the high school kid gave me at the cash register, and I just think, hey, cool, my lucky day. Makes it very difficult for me to be God's ambassador if I'm one person on Sunday and somebody else for the rest of the time. This passage in Peter tells us, prepare, be ready. Listen again to the first three words. Always be prepared. It's like the Boy Scouts motto, right? Nick's here. Where's Nick? We have an Eagle Scout with us. Nick, this ought to be your verse. Always be prepared. Think about the first passage in Colossians. Pray that God will open a door. Here, always be prepared. Always be prepared, meaning that you are poised and ready to share, knowing what needs to be shared, knowing how best to share it, doing it with respect and grace and salt. And then to have the reputation that pays the price to open the door into somebody's psyche and their heart. They may not necessarily know you or like you, but if they believe that you are authentic, at least your words will carry the weight of their meaning and not be minimized or dismissed because you're a hypocrite. Make sense? Spiritual doors. How do you open them? How do you enter them? And perhaps most importantly, how do you maximize that time? I want to share with you one more verse. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. I'm going to begin to close with this. Spiritual doors. The God questions represent keys to different people's spiritual doors. I had a professor in seminary, an actual living hero of mine, a man that I truly pray to emulate. His name is Dr. Bucher. And he said to me this. He said, Jeff, I want you to think of people as spiritual doors. He said, our job is not to knock down doors. And I think all of you have seen people that try to storm down doors for Jesus. It doesn't work. They do more damage than good. He said to me, think of people as spiritual doors. And here's our job, Jeff. You approach each and every door that God brings around you, every opportunity, and you go to that door and you put your hand on the doorknob and you turn. And if it's locked, you lay some seed down and you back away because it's not your job to open the door. God opens the door. Your job is to be prepared so that when the door is open, you're ready to enter and maximize that opportunity. If the door is locked and you start to pound, you know what the person on the other side of the door is going to do? They're going to add deadbolts on the other side. Because they're going to be so afraid that the graphic in that video I love, while it haunts me, I actually saw that bumper sticker in Louisville, Kentucky. You know, the crystal clean white Christian evangelical with the briefcase holding the Bible. We were in an eclectic part of town where a lot of Christians wouldn't feel comfortable going. And that bumper sticker was out on somebody's car. Because they were sick and tired of the people that didn't maximize. They just wanted to plow them down. Maximize the opportunity. Dr. Bucher said, you go to that door, and if the door is open, then you better have done your work because that should be an answer to your prayer. And if it's open, you open the door and you step in. And you go as far in as they will allow you to go, never once forcing, because God is in charge and He has a plan. And the puzzles of that person's faith journey have all, the puzzle pieces have been laid out by God Himself. Our job as His helper is to come along and do our part. God's Word tells us that we're to maximize each and every opportunity. And in 1 Colossians chapter 10, He says this, I paraphrase, that each one of us is to live a life worthy of the Lord, bearing fruit in every good work. If you plow down a door, if there were fruit there, you crushed it. If you walk past a door and there were fruit there and you didn't take it, it died on the vine. You're to go to each and every door and make the most of every opportunity. I want to close with this. There's a poem that was written by a man named Samuel Shoemaker, and it's called I Stand by the Door. I've read this in our church. This is now my third time. I read this in the very first service that the Bridge ever had. I entitled that service, It's Not About You, so that we as a Bridge family would always remember that we are here. We have been saved to serve. This morning, I'm going to read about half of it. I have chosen some of the highlight stanzas. But I have made available out at the resource table not only our God Questions book that will walk you through this series for the next 6 weeks, and I promise you will help change your life, but I have made available the full version of this poem, I Stand by the Door, at the resource table. I've made about 100 copies. I would encourage you to take this. Put it in your Bible, stick it on your refrigerator, make multiple copies. Hear what I'm not going to share with you as you read it on your own. But as I close today, let these words echo into your heart. Spiritual doors. How to open, how to enter, and how to maximize your opportunity for Christ at the threshold of every spiritual door. Mr. Shoemaker wrote this, I stand by the door. I stand by the door. I neither go too far in nor stay too far out. The door is the most important door in the world. It is the door through which men walk when they find God. There's no use my going way inside and staying there when so many are still outside and they, as much as I, crave to know where the door is. And all that so many ever find is only the wall where a door ought to be. They creep along the wall like blind men with outstretched, groping hands, feeling for a door, knowing there must be a door, yet they never find it. So I stand by the door. The most tremendous thing in the world is for men to find that door, the door to God. The most important thing any man can do is to take hold of one of those blind, groping hands and put it on the latch that only clicks and opens to the man's own touch. Men die outside that door, as starving beggars die on cold nights in cruel cities in the dead of winter. They die for want of what is within their grasp. Nothing else matters compared to helping them find it and open it and walk in and find Him. So I stand by the door. There's another reason why I stand there. Some people get part way in and become afraid, lest God and the zeal of His house devour them. For God is so very great and asks all from us. And these people feel a cosmic claustrophobia, and they want to get out. Let me out, they cry. And the people way inside, they only terrify them more. Somebody must stand by the door to tell them, one taste of God, and nothing but God will do anymore. As for me, I shall take my old accustomed place, near enough to God to hear Him and know He is there, but not so far from men as to not hear them, and remember that they are there too. Where? Outside the door. Thousands of them, millions of them, billions of them outside the door. But more important for me, one of them, two of them, 10 of them, whose hands I am intended to put on the latch. So I shall stand by the door and wait for those who seek it. For I would rather be a doorkeeper than anything else. So I stand by the door. I stand by the door. My friends, if you are outside the door, this group of believers called the Bridge is waiting for you, and I promise you we will not go too far in to lose sight of your voice. We will stay within hand's reach. We will hang on. We will cleave to the door and stretch as far out towards you as we physically can. Because Jesus loves you, and so do we. It's not a cliche, it's a mission. If you are somebody who has recently come through the door and you're saying, what now? I want you to know that we will grow you in your faith. We will be the fertilizer of your faith. We will do all that we can to help you grow strong in your personal relationship with the Lord. There will be times that I will nurture you as a pastor. There will be times I will kick you in the pants. I promise. We are not interested in helping you find a slot in a Christian cocoon. This is an equipping center in the context of a very real spiritual war that happens 24/7. You will either be on offense or defense, whether you know it or not. I want to help you to grow in your faith. And my friends, if you are somebody who is mature in your faith, and you say, yes, I know I've been there, well, I want you to know that there isn't a soul walking the planet that God does not want to have engaged in full-time service. There's no retirement in the world of faith. And I want to help come and bring to you God's second wind. I want you to understand that we live in the door. We have so many spiritual doors around us. In the last 2 months, we did a series called The Meaning of Life, and it was my goal to show you the path to Christ-likeness in the context of real life. In the next 7 weeks, we are going to tear down barriers, those roadblocks that tend to get in the way, and to give you the ability to strengthen the confidence that you have in God Almighty, to strengthen the confidence you have in the faith that sustains you. And I pray to increase your confidence in your ability and your responsibility to reach out through the door and to extend God's love and grace to some of the people that you know. You know that you know a lot of people that if the end of their days were to come right now, they would spend eternity separated from Christ. And you need to care enough about that to say something as simple as, come and see. You don't need any theology. You don't have to go to Bible college. You don't have to memorize a verse. I promise you that if you will bring your friends, if you will bring your loved ones, this will be a community of believers that will share truth and love and genuinely come alongside and help in the journey of life. Would you pray with me now? Lord Jesus, we come and I thank you personally that you are the Creator God, the controller of all things, and that you love us enough to count the hairs on our head. Lord, that it is in your heart that none should perish if we would only pick up our cross and follow you. How many do we know, Lord, that would come? How many do we know that wouldn't necessarily come to a church called the Bridge, but would come to the foot of the cross? Father God, thank you for leasing us this piece of land at the foot of your cross on Kent Island. Father, we invite them to you, and we pray that you will empty us out in service. Father God, I pray that we not entice people to come to a country club, but that we offer the type of service opportunity for the King, that people stand in line asking for the blessing of pouring themselves out for you. Father God, we are ready. We are willing. And I pray that we have a community that will come and hear the answers to the God questions and receive the answer, capital A, to all of life. Lord, I thank you for all the ways that you show us you love us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. Backbeat, the word is on the street that the fire in your heart is out. You've heard it all before, but you never really had a doubt. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. And all the roads we have to walk are winding, and all the lights that lead us there are blinding. There are many things that I would like to say to you, but I don't know how. Because maybe you're gonna be the one that saves me. And after all, you're my day, but they'll never throw it back to you. By now, you should have somehow realized what you're not to do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now.